How do leaders create workplaces where people don't just show up, but truly engage, contribute, and thrive? My guest, transformational executive coach and best-selling author, Susan Inouye, shows us how. With her groundbreaking approach, Susan helps leaders shift from control to connection, from authority to authenticity, and from bottom-line myopia to true belonging. In this episode of The Courage of a Leader, Susan shares inspiring stories and practical shifts that will change how you lead and how your people flourish. I'm glad you're here to listen in. Welcome to the Courage of a Leader podcast. This is where you hear real life stories of top leaders achieving extraordinary results. And you get practical advice and techniques you can immediately apply for your own success. This is where you will get inspired and take bold, courageous action. I'm so glad you can join us. I'm your host, Amy Riley. Now, are you ready to step into the full power of your leadership and achieve the results you care about most? Let's ignite the courage of a leader. Susan, thank you for being on the Courage of a Leader podcast today.
You are so welcome, Amy. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have this conversation. Like, we're talking about something that is super critical. I'd say it's a crisis right now in our workplace. We're going to talk about how every leader out there in their teams, in their sphere of influence, can create cultures of engagement and belonging. Because, of course, if someone's going to be engaged, they need to feel like they belong. And I love the ways that you think about and access this. Where do you want to start?
I mean, when you talk about cultures of belonging, this is what got me into this so many years ago.
Yeah.
And learning how important it was. I think I talked to you briefly about it was because, gosh, what was it, more than 13 years ago, I started getting calls from executives complaining about their young people. And at the time, it was the millennial generation. So there was so much pain and suffering between generations that I had to find some kind of answer. And I guess I was looking for a method that wasn't just based in academic or theory, but really proven and grounded results.
Nice.
And that is when an executive client, he came to me and said, Susan, I think I found your answer. And he took me, of all places, Amy, to the ghettos of South Central Los Angeles to meet a man by the name of Tony LeRae, who was the founder and CEO of Youth Mentoring Connection. And I found out that Tony was a former CEO. He had sold a very successful business. And for the past decade, he had been saving and transforming the lives of thousands of inner city millennial youth through his mentoring programs with unprecedented results.
Nice.
Yeah. And what I loved about what he was doing was he had actually gone into the community. He asked these young people what it would take to engage with them. And they told him. And over the years, he created what he called the gift-centered approach. Nice. Now, the gift-centered approach was at the heart of the way he led, which he called Sawubona leadership. And Sawubona was Zulu for I see you, as in seeing the whole person. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see this in action. He invited me to a mentoring program that he was having. And I got to tell you, when I went there to the Baha Center years ago in South LA, I was taken aback because here was a community of people of all different generations, genders, ethnic backgrounds, and the deep connection that they had, and that the way they engaged each other that brought out the best in who each other was. I remember after that session, I went up to him and I said, I need you to mentor me. I need to take this into the corporate world, because I not only saw a way of helping my executives to better engage their young people, but a way of creating cultures of belonging.
Yes.
And so what he did was he said, okay, I'll mentor you. And he mentored me, and I took it into the corporate world over 13 years ago. I started to turn around companies and cultures in a way that was long-term and sustainable.
Nice.
And today, Salbona and the gift-centered approach is in over 30 countries. It was a subject of a book that I wrote called Leadership's Perfect Storm. And we were just fortunate. The end of 2018, when we launched, it became the number one Amazon bestseller in leadership and business management, and it sold all over the world.
I love it, Susan. I
Yeah.
hear you clearly talking about the gift-centered approach. So, of course, we want to see people's unique gifts, their unique value, but you also talked about seeing the whole person. And
Right.
so we've got to accept that someone in the millennial or the Gen Z generation might be asking, how can I have your job in 5 years, right? And accepting that is part of who they are and what they're thinking of and what drives them, right? Accepting that whole person.
And Sabona, it means I see you. I see and accept, because what we found, Amy, is when we see and accept people for who they are, they see and accept us for who we are, and a different conversation unfolds. Not one where we're lecturing to each other with our right wrong judgments, but one where we're listening and learning from each other with openness and curiosity. And so this is what millennials and Gen Zs want. They want to be accepted for the whole of who they are, their gifts, their blind spots, their strengths, their weaknesses, their genius. And this is why Salbona, they gravitate towards the Salbona. It's not just because it was born out of the millennial generation, but it closely aligns with their values and their needs. And it's interesting, in having done a lot of speaking at conferences, I have a lot of millennials approach me and they tell me their needs, but there are three needs that keep echoing. And that's to feel heard, to use their gifts, and to have meaning and purpose in their lives. But what's interesting, when I'm speaking to a group of leaders of all different generations, and I ask them, is this something that you want too? Every hand goes up, because it's not a generational need, it's a human need. This is what we all want. And so the way that we enter through Salbona, in order for someone to feel heard, you have to connect and receive. In order for a person to use their gifts, you have to, as a leader, see their gifts. In order for a person to have meaning and purpose in their lives, you have to create a culture where they feel a part of something greater than themselves. And what we do is the journey to this is through what we call the five Salbona leaderships. These are the shifts that are so important that leaders make today to be the kind of leaders that thrive in the 21st century, especially because millennial generation right now, they are becoming in management roles, senior management roles, VP roles, because the age of millennials are anywhere from 29 to 44. So these five leaderships become really, really important that leaders transition to. So the first one is from control to connect and receive. There's a connection. The second one is from conformity to see and accept. Third one is from expectations to intentions. The fourth one is from authority to authenticity. And the fifth one is from bottom line myopia to belonging. And so if we look, if we look at the first one, from control to connect and receive, we have been trying to slowly move away from command and control, which does not work on the younger generation. And it really didn't work on my generation, but we just sucked it up and we did it anyway, right?
We felt like we had to deal with it.
Right, exactly. So we have to transition from control to connect and receive. And connection is not communication or connectivity. It's how I feel when I'm with you. So there was a recent survey done by Korn Ferry. They do it every year. It's called their workforce survey. And This year, they had 15,000 professionals from 10 countries, and they surveyed everything from entry-level employees to CEOs. So you have every generation, just
Yep.
not millennials, every generation.
All five. Yep.
And in there, they showed that there was a huge disconnect between generations, no surprise. But what was interesting is they would say that the boomer generation felt that they were very much connected to Gen Z because they clearly communicated. However, Gen Z said, we don't feel connected to boomers. And that's because connection is not communication. It's how I feel when I'm with you. The boomers also thought that Gen Zs did not want to be in management roles.
Oh.
And Gen Z said, no, it's not that we don't want to be in management roles. It's that we don't want to be our manager because they didn't like the way their managers live, right? And then if you go from control to connect and receive, receptivity is a very overlooked quality of leadership because we're taught that it's better to give than to receive, right? But building a body of a leader means building a body that can receive thoughts, that can receive ideas, that can receive praise, criticism, help with openness and curiosity. And in the same survey, which was really great, they said the companies who were the most successful at getting their people behind change in AI and automation were the ones that received the voices of their people. They created infrastructures where their people could share their thoughts, their ideas, their perspectives. They let them participate in the adoption, the usage, and the implementation process of AI and automation. And this actually was so important because it allowed it to be more closely aligned with the organizational strategy. And so you're finding that the companies that are most successful, they receive the voices of generations. And they also found in one case that they allowed Gen Z to mentor the people at the top in AI and automation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love this, Susan. Let me
Sure.
pause our conversation here and I'm going to tell listeners more about you.
Okay, sure.
Yes. Susan Inouye is a transformational executive coach with nearly 2 decades of experience empowering leaders across 600 companies in 40 industries. Her one-on-one coaching method integrates deep, holistic practices of mind, heart, and body, honed through extensive training with a seventh-degree black belt, Aikido Sensei, and insights from the HeartMath Institute. This approach not only enhances emotional intelligence, but also reshapes organizational cultures into thriving, sustainable entities. Central to Susan's work, we've already heard about it, is the Soibona leadership rooted in the Zulu greeting, I see you, fostering inclusive cultures where individuals are valued for their authenticity. Her expertise extends to millennials, highlighted in her best-selling book, Leadership's Perfect Storm, which illuminates their impact on modern leadership. Passionate about women's leadership, Susan champions their role in shaping compassionate, purpose-driven organization. Her influence transcends coaching to include retreats, culture-building initiatives, and mentoring programs, reinforcing her belief that true organizational formation starts with empowered leaders, which is why we're focusing on these leadership traits. Thank you for being here, Susan.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Yeah. So I already love what you are saying about the shift from control to connect and receive. I think, Susan, that it's really easy for us as human beings, with our natural biases and filters, to hear and be like, oh yeah, I like that, I like that, I like that. I don't like that. Right? And then we're not fully accepting everything that's being shared with us, right? We're pulling and we're incorporating what works in our schematic that our brain has created from our experiences, but truly taking it all, putting it all on the page I'm like, how are we going to integrate all of this? And oh, I love that folks being mentored, like when we consider generationally, folks being mentored in all directions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing about it is that we have to understand that receiving is more than just hearing what people say. It's when I receive something, am I being triggered by what you said, or am I just feeling very neutral and like a sponge taking it in? And
And
that,
if I'm being triggered, Susan, then I have some work to do.
yeah, absolutely. 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 And that's when I do the deep holistic work that I do in getting leaders so that they're not triggered by the same things they were triggered before.
So that's also acknowledging, like, oh, this triggers me, right? I've got some processing to do here about why and how I can work through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. So many of you tell me you want your team to be more proactive, that you want to stop putting out fires or following up all the time. You want your team to take ownership, keep moving things forward, and get more done in the day. How can you figure out how to do this with your team? You can take the Inspire Your Team to Greatness assessment that I've created to answer these burning questions that so many of my client leaders have posed. It's worked for them and it'll work for you. In less than 10 minutes, find out what's getting in the way and how you can get your team to get more done during the day without you having to hover over them. In my nearly three decades of work with leaders at all levels and across industries, I've discovered the 11 things that leaders do, even very well-intentioned leaders do, that kill productivity. Take the Inspire Your Team to Greatness assessment, and you'll get a custom report that will tell you step by step what you need to do to guarantee that your team is more proactive and productive. It's absolutely free of charge, and it'll create a win-win-win. It's a win for me when you share your great results from the assessment with other leaders. It's a win for you, and it's ultimately a win for your team and organization as you collectively accomplish more. Click on the assessment link in the show notes now to change the course of your leadership and inspire your team to new heights and to demonstrate the courage of a leader.
Yeah.
Okay, do we keep
So,
going?
yeah. So the second one is from conformity to see and accept. And millennials have a saying. The saying is one size does not fit all. They want to be seen as unique individuals, not part of a mass herd. And for them, it's so important to see them as a whole human being and accept all of it, whether you think it's good or bad. And in Salbona, we start through the portal of being able to see the gifts, and then it opens up to many other things. Can I share a story? Because I think it would demonstrate of one of my clients. I'll call this person Kathy. And yeah, Kathy was a director of tech support, and she had a lot of IT reps. One of them was Jack. They were all millennials underneath her. And I was the company had engaged my services. I wasn't coaching Kathy at the time, but one day she came up to me and she said, "I need your help. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to hire one of my people that I feel has so much potential, Jack, but he's not making his monthly quotas of new customers served. And I've tried everything." Now, Kathy was brought up on command and control. In command and control, we use the carrot and the stick. So she used incentives on Jack. It didn't work. She used reprimands. It didn't work. And she said, I'm out of options. I don't know what else to do." So we had conversation. I started to talk about gifts. And at one point I asked Kathy, "So what are Jack's gifts?" And she looked at me puzzled. And that's not unusual because our gifts are what we were born to bring naturally into the world. It's what we do without thinking about. It's just who we are.
Innate.
Yep. And so I said to her, I reframed it. I said, "Kathy, why did you hire Jack?" And all of a sudden her eyes lit up and she said, "Oh my gosh, Susan, he is not like any other tech rep. He easily gains rapport with our customers. He doesn't talk down to them in techie language. They love him so much, they call for him by name.
Yeah.
He is so smart, he can solve the most challenging issues. I said, wow. Then she said, but my boss is pushing me to fire him by Friday. And I went, well, okay. I said, let's step back and see a bigger picture here. And she said, what do you mean? I said, let's step back. I said, what is Jack's retention rate on his existing base compared to the other reps? And she said to me, well, why? I said, because he may be servicing less new customers, but retaining more of his base, and he could be more profitable. And she said, oh my gosh.
A different
So
metric, yeah.
I said, can you find out? She said, absolutely. So she went, and a couple of days later, she calls me. She says, Susan, you'll never believe it. Jack has the highest retention rate compared to any of the other reps. He is more profitable. I said, wow, great. I said, use this to buy us time with your boss. So she did.
Yeah.
We brainstormed, and the first thing out of my mouth, because you have to be able to see the gifts not only in people's good behaviors, but in their bad. So I said to her, what is the gifts that are trying to come out in his bad behavior? And so she thought about it and she said, and we came up with a whole list. And after that, I said to her, how can you take these gifts and put them in another direction? How can you use these gifts, put them in another direction so they better help you, Jack, and the organization? How do you redirect these gifts? So she thought about it and she said, wow, what if he created a training manual and gave away all of his secrets? I said, wow, that'd be great. And she said,
Increase
then,
everybody else's retention of clients.
right. So she said, then they wouldn't be coming to him and taking his time away, right? I said, absolutely. And I said, because one of his gifts is coaching and training, what if he trained the whole department with this training manual? She said, oh my gosh. So I said, you have to go to Jack, you have to acknowledge his gifts, and you have to ask him if he'd be open. Well, Jack was flattered. And he said yes.
He was
So we did.
already doing it in many
Yeah.
Let's just make this
So,
formal.
absolutely. So we did many things. But bottom line, what happened was, Amy, was the company got a new training manual. Jack trained the entire department. Productivity and retention went up tenfold. Jack was making his monthly quotas of new customers served. They had 3 consecutive years of record-breaking customer retention, and Kathy was promoted from a director to a general manager.
Nice. I love what that story illustrates, Susan. There's lots of talk about strengths-based leadership. What I think is unique about the story that you just told, we're looking at strengths that are innate, those gifts that have been natural to us forever. Like when we were four, we were doing the four-year-old version of it, right? And then what also struck me about what you said is we're looking for the gifts in the quote unquote good and bad behaviors, right? And how can we leverage those? How can we line up the work with those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely.
And in Sabuna, we make a distinction between gifts and strengths. So gifts are what we were born to bring naturally into the world. Strengths are what we work hard at to be competent in. And so one of them, gifts, fills us with energy because it's a part of who we are. Strengths takes energy and effort. But when we get so good at a strength, it sometimes looks like a gift.
But it's not the thing that gives us energy that fuels us.
Right, or we do naturally.
I want to make sure we get to the other three, Susan.
Sure.
Expectations to intentions.
Yeah, so expectations are our rules of how things should be done. Amy, I expect that if I give you training, you'll be able to do your job. And when you make mistakes, I have a lot of pain. So I tell
Rate you
my
on this, Amy. Come
So I tell my execs, you've got to turn your expectations into intentions. Expectations you can't control, but intentions you can because they're within you. My intention, Amy, is to help you be the best you can be by give you training. Now, if you make mistakes, I don't have any pain because my intention is to help you be the best you can be. And what it does is it opens us up to now conversation where we talk about what are the things that you can do next time so you don't make the same mistakes. Where expectations just cut you off and says, you're wrong, I'm right, you have to do it my way, right?
Yeah, I like it, Susan. It's a bigger picture commitment. Yeah, and it helps us show up courageously, vulnerably, looking for the learning, being curious rather than, oh, I outlined it this way and it's not happening.
And the young people, especially like this, look, this is the result I need you to get. Use your gifts and use your talents and do it in a way that you see it as long as I get the same result.
Yeah, it allows them to decide the how.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it puts them on a path of creativity, innovation, figuring out themselves rather than us saying, this is exactly what you need to do. So when we set expectations, we're saying, this is the way we want you to do it.
Yeah.
And we prevent them from being able to use their gifts, their talents, to become innovative and creative and
Yeah.
figure things out on their own. So, in the long run, they're not constantly coming to us for the answers. They're the ones that are being empowered to find the answers on their own, and they do.
Yes, it's empowering and it's engaging.
Yes,
Yes.
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Authority to authenticity. Do I have that right?
From authority to authenticity. Millennials are the first generation that did not have to go through authority to get information. And this is huge. People in power used to use information as a leverage point over their people. They can no longer do that because young people can get information before their leaders.
That creates a great understanding. That's worth repeating. Millennials are the first generation that didn't have to go through authority figures to get information. It's all out there. Okay. Yeah.
Every single one of them. And that's why they don't respect you just because you have a title.
Yeah.
What they do respect is authentic wisdom, information, experience that they can learn from as long as you don't lecture down to them. And they feel like they can talk with someone, a CEO, the same way they talk with their friends, because that's being authentic and they can do it in a respectful way.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the fifth?
The fifth one is from bottom line myopia to belonging.
Nice.
And I want to say that millennials, and we're finding more and more generations, they want to feel a part of something greater than themselves. They want to feel this sense of belonging to something that's meaningful and purposeful. In fact, in that survey that they did of Korn Ferry, what they said was that, and this was from every generation, that what keeps them loyal and what keeps them staying with the same company is meaningful work that aligns with their values, their identity, and their purpose. And when they are given work that aligns with their gifts, when they are given challenging work where they are tested, they actually like this because they leave the day feeling fulfilled and so important. And there's one story that I want to share with you. It actually demonstrates all of the leaderships. One of my clients, I have several that I could do this with, but this one was really kind of special in many ways. But that'd be okay. I'll call him Lewis. So Lewis was a general manager of a retail outlet of a national chain of, they're kind of semi-restaurants, fast food places anyway. And when I was called in to work with him, he had so many HR issues, too many to count. He was only making 30% of his monthly budgeted goals. He had a team of people that were calling HR every day to get him out. There was a whole campaign against him. And I didn't know this, but he didn't tell me, but he was on the verge of divorce. So he was in a lot of pain. And so when I connected with Lewis, he was very open to doing almost anything I asked him to do. So we had long talk, and I said, look, we have to first rebuild trust with your people. So let's have conversation with them and ask them to give you a break and stop calling HR. So we met with them, and Lewis admitted to them that he was a terrible leader, that he really wanted to become better, and that the company had brought me in to work with him. And would you just give me a break? And they said they would. They
Wow,
said,
talk about vulnerable and authentic.
I know. And they said to him, though, you got a month.
Okay, wait, then we want to
I
see something concrete in the next month.
and
Okay.
Mom thought, I went, okay. So we started through the aspect of Saubona, right? And I'll just go through the leaderships. I don't always follow it per se, but it's a combination. But from control to connect and receive, Lewis had learned command and control leadership from the grocery industry. It's a very directive, authoritative kind of leadership that they taught them, right? And so what I did was practices to get him to quiet his mind so we could drop into his body and connect with it so he could connect with his people. His people said to me, Susan, Lewis doesn't listen. His mind is always elsewhere. We can talk to him, but we know he is not there.
Getting through, yeah.
And now what happened? He was starting slowly to become present. He was receiving their thoughts and ideas, and they felt it. And they said, oh, this is different. And he was saying to me, my gosh, I didn't even know my people had some of these good ideas, right? I mean, it was went over his head before, right? So he was learning to connect and receive by quieting his mind and body. Okay. Then we went from conformity to see and accept. Lewis truly believed, like command and control, that one size fits all. I want everybody to do things in every the same way. But they were telling him we're all unique in who we are. We have different gifts, right? So all of a sudden, now that he was connected into his body, I started to help him develop the intelligence of his heart. So now, as he was more open and present to receive with openness and curiosity, he started to put people in areas where they would excel. He started to praise their gifts, which is different than just regular praise. He praised the action. So we went from conformity to see and accept, from expectations to intentions. He let go of his expectation. His intention was to help them be the best they could be. We went from authority to authenticity. Instead of being the guy at the top, he started doing things like letting them go off on vacations, and he would be there on Thanksgiving and Christmas. They saw him being a part of the team. And from bottom line myopia to belonging, guess what? The results were this. They have lowest turnover rate of all the stores. He went from too many HR issues to count to one. He went from meeting 30% of his monthly budgeted goals to 100. In 2 years, they became the number one store in California, and his marriage got back on track.
Lewis,
Yeah.
Susan, I love this. Thank you for bringing the five leader shifts to life through Lewis's story. Seems like a great place to end our episode. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experience with us, Susan.
You're so welcome, Amy. Thank you for having me.
Yes, our pleasure. Thanks for being on the Courage of a Leader podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Courage of a Leader podcast. If you'd like to further explore this episode's topic, please reach out to me through the Courage of a Leader website at www.courageofaleader.com. I'd love to hear from you. Please take the time to leave a review on iTunes. That helps us expand our reach and get more people fully stepping into their leadership potential. Until next time, be bold and be brave because you've got the courage of a leader.